guys. Thanks for having me on the podcast. This is my very first podcast. And Joe, Lars, please ask me, ask away.
Hey, thanks for joining us today, Yusef. Before this episode, you were telling us that you were willing to have your palm read. And I would love to, if you could put your palm out, I could do like a psychic reading from where I am.
Well, I'm holding it to the sky. I'm holding it way up.
Yes, I see that.
I'm sending energy.
Yep, yep, yep. I'm picking up on that. Yes, you do have a palm.
I wanted to know if love was in my, I wanted to come out of this podcast knowing who my wife
Oh, you wanted more.
How many of them I was going to have.
All right, hold on. Let me get the energy going. Oh, yes, yes. Now I see that, in fact, I am picking up on love. It is right around the corner for you.
Ooh, does she have a big Twitch following?
She does. 400,000.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, does she have a big butt or something? Okay.
No. I am a YouTuber, boys. I'm all about the clout. Ooh, you see? Okay.
But her Twitter following is not as ample.
Oh, that's gonna, in later life, that's gonna cause problems.
Despite the large Twitch following, she only has 200 followers on Twitter.
That's where our romance will blossom, through like me helping her get a stronger Twitter following.
She's actually averse to having a Twitter. She doesn't believe in it.
Oh dear.
Yes, well, yes, I'm picking up on this now. She doesn't believe in Twitter.
This might be a deal breaker. This might be like if this was a rom-com. Halfway through the film, when you go to the toilet, this is this point where we're having the argument about not having a Twitter account.
Yeah. That is what happens. It's a short-lived romance, but it's an intense, burning flame.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm having microphone issues. Can you keep stalling like this? Because I got a diagnosis.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me play a song to set the mood.
Sekia says, it's a deal breaker for sure. Only Twitter matters. Well, that's the question. Twitter or Twitch? If you had to pick one, you got one. You're a powerhouse. Would you rather be a powerhouse on Twitter or a powerhouse on Twitch? I am asking the questions now, boys.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, you and the chat. Everybody's saying Twitch so far.
Well, I'd say Twitch, because I feel like you could use it for, like, Twitch is for more money. What would be your platform of choice if you could no longer go on YouTube?
So I am an old, superstitious man, and Twitch really scares me. Like I said, this is my first podcast. Oh. I've never used Twitch. It really freaks me out. Mm-hmm. I'd love to, because I like to talk and kind of like just keep talking away. But there's something about it being kind of on all the time. It freaks me out a little bit. I would want to do it, but Twitch does freak me out. So if YouTube went down, I haven't got an exciting enough life for Instagram. I have nothing to offer Instagram.
My Instagram is just selfies.
Is my mic coming through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we're all back in, Yusef, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I am known online, YouTube and Twitter. Yeah, as Otaku Versus. And Otaku Versus is me and a couple other guys that I've known for a very long time. And we've kind of stumbled onto making an anime, quote unquote anime, for YouTube. And I say stumbled because it really was just like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. It wasn't really we are going to go and make this thing. So yeah, that's kind of what I do. I make things online, make cartoons online.
And when you say you stumbled into it, you just woke up one day and said, let me make an anime.
Well, here's the tale. And I have to say this before. I am just the guy who somehow got lucky enough. There is a team of super hyper talented animators behind me that work for Studio Yuraki, and those are the guys. And obviously, you know, I'd love to get into all that, all the thick of that, but they're the guys that really make all this thing kind of come together. I'm just the guy that's managed to like corral them all together into doing it. but I say stumbled upon it because at first, like pretty much everybody who does YouTube, and it's not like a groundbreaking origin story, it was just a bit of fun. It was a hobby, bit of fun. Used to just make videos on YouTube. All of them were around anime because it's what I enjoyed. But the more and more I made stuff, the more I started getting into making episodes based around this character, mm-hmm. Ota-chan. And the more and more I started making those kind of episodes, I realized kind of that's what I wanted to do. I was like, this is what I enjoy writing this character, this like horrible, horrible character. Yeah. I enjoy writing.
Yeah. So I have sort of my first hard-hitting question for you. 5 months ago, on February 17th, 3 days after Valentine's Day, you put out a video called "This Anime Cost $20,000, Ota-chan Episode 1, and about a minute in, an advertisement plays for some product where the main anime girl says,
"Hoodies are back in stock. Why the fuck haven't you bought one yet?"
And I see this as an ideal form of advertising due to the down-to-earth relatability of the sketch, similar to what you might expect on Rick and Morty in an interdimensional television machine. Am I in the ballpark when I say that this anime cost $20,000, Ota-chan Episode 1, is a time-traveling interdimensional advertising conglomerate masquerading as a YouTube video?
I was so tempted to just leave the call and be like, he's on to us, boys. He's got... I didn't want to ruin the record. I was like literally. And then tweet me just dead. Do you know what I mean? I knew I shouldn't have sent you a picture of my hand. I knew it. He's figured me out.
I got
out.
It. Oh, that is it. I was just kind of joking, but that was... Wow. You heard it here first, folks.
Can I... Because it's interesting. It is interesting that that's something you picked up on because, right, here's the tale. You'll find with me, there's a deal behind everything. Mm-hmm. So that awful clickbait title, which it pains me. Do you know when I make the episodes, I always want to call them like something, like what the episode is actually about. I always want to call it that. Mm-hmm. Like Ota-chan commits tax fraud. Like that's what I wanted to call episode one. But yeah, I just couldn't take the risk because YouTube is so weird and awkward and scary.
Yeah, people like high dollar amounts.
And when you work so long on something, yeah. So it's like, well, it cost more than that. It's like, it did cost this. So it was like, all right, I might as well tell the truth. I might as well put it on there and say, this is what it cost. And just put this audacious statement that people will think, oh, it's a lie. But deep down, I'm like, unfortunately, it's not. But to get to that, it's interesting you picked up on that because the first episode really was, it was tough. We went through loads of ups and downs to kind of get it right. And it was like a race against the clock to get it right. And we finally got it where it was. And I had this idea where I was like, hey, you know, because most anime, they've got ad breaks. They've got eye catches, sorry, where before the advert plays on TV, you'll see like an eye catch for the show. Like you'll see. It just like comes up and you see like the character.
Yeah.
An example is something like Full Metal Alchemist, where like it says like Full Metal Alchemist, then the adverts play, and then it comes back Full Metal Alchemist, then the end of the kind of episode plays. So I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we had eye catches? And then I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did an eye catch and then we had a fake advertisement?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went, oh, but hang on a minute. We actually have stuff, so we might as well make it a real advertisement and actually sell, because we're demonetized as well. So I was right. Like, all right, because we're demonetized, we might as well show our kind of stuff. But it's interesting, yeah, that I kind of came up with that idea, and then because I ran away with this idea of, oh, let's make this crazy fake advertisement where it looks like a Neo Geo game and all this kind of stuff. It just escalated and escalated to where the advertisement was this really long, crazy thing. The first episode.
Yeah, in the same episode, at about the 3-minute mark, Ota-chan once again appears in an infomercial advertising her 12-step pyramid technology scheme to become a waifu or an influencer. So that is further evidence that she is a time-traveling interdimensional alien, I would say.
She does seem to skirt the laws of physics and reality and has a tenuous grip on both my life and my sleep schedule.
Yeah.
So I can buy into it. I buy into the theory.
The chat is suggesting that she isn't an alien, just a crackhead.
Yeah. Cocaine. Cocaine.
She loves cocaine.
She does, which one day I think I'm going to get in trouble for. And when I say, oh, we're demonetized, people are like, well, duh.
By the way, Joe, the chat where?
Discord.t1podcast.com. By the way, guys, in the chat, do you think that Oda-chan is an alien or just a crackhead?
I have another polarizing question. Well, we got sure. crackheads.
You kind of brushed through that URL, Joe, in about 0.5 seconds. Can you give it again?
Yeah, discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these episodes live. All right. Yeah, getting a lot of responses here. Saying,
I'm saying, it's just seeing.
One of both, but definitely
full
crackhead.
Crackhead all the way.
During the 12-step pyramid technology, though, the steps she offered did start out very practical, though. Like, step one was
wake up every morning knowing you are the boss. You submit to no one.
Did, and then they
but,
spiraled.
it did, yeah. It quickly devolved into madness because step three is submitting to her entirely.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to kind of, you know, okay, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's a cult. just get it out there on the table. Say what it really is. It's a cult.
A cult of personality?
It's a cult of personality of this anime girl that ruins my life. So the polarizing question would be, guys, is Oda-chan a boy or a girl? Go nuts, chat. Several people are typing.
You guys in the chat, if you could weigh in, is Oda-chan a boy or a girl? Now, is Oda-chan based on somebody in real life or is it pure imagination?
It's a mixture of a lot of things. It's come from, as most anime fans, deep down, we hate the thing we love the most. So when I was like, I was watching a lot of anime, I was watching a lot of slice of life anime, and I was like, look at all these cute anime girls. I love this stuff so much, but I want to make something that is just the complete opposite of this cute anime girl. I wanted to make this horrible, horrible person that is stuck in an anime girl's body. Yeah.
It seems to me like there's a lot of self-loathing as a theme in the show.
Comes out. It just kind of naturally pours out of me when we write. I have a cousin who swears he based it on him. He's like, you based this on me. I've got a prison tag on. She's got a prison tag on. I was like, I wrote this months before you got that tag on. It's also, I'm not going to lie, I got big influences, and this is just for any of the anime fans in the chat. I might be just talking nonsense. Lucky Star was a big influence, you know. I watched a lot of old, I mean, like 90s anime and stuff like this.
I caught that in the video about you, what your favorite anime says about you, where you were really easy on Lucky Star. I noticed that there's clear favoritism there.
Well done. Finally, someone's got it right. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Unbelievable. You, sir. You are truly an inspiration to all us men, all us anime watchers. Anyone, everyone in this world, we need to be like you. Someone with great, undeniable taste in anime. You, sir, you have earned my respect. There's nothing more I can say. You are just the best.
It's interesting because what your favorite anime says about you, it's interesting because to go into like the YouTube side of things, it's been a real trip. If I go through my, like, if I self-indulgently go through my back catalogue, like, yes, let's take a walk down memory lane today and go through what I've made. There's like a real kind of like, okay, we're making this, now we're making this, and then it's resulted in Oda-chan. Because the way that I worked was, because a lot of guys in my field in the anime YouTube, AniTube sphere, a lot of it is based on reviews. It's based on they've watched a show and they want to talk about the show, something they're really passionate about. And that's kind of the basis of their channel. It's always, you know, talking about the thing. What I found quickly is that with me, I was less bothered about talking about the show And then I wanted to make a big flashy thing. I was wanting to make a joke. I was like, oh, let's make, right. I was more bothered about writing the jokes than I was about actually discussing the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just that. It was the mixture of wanting to constantly write jokes and then wanting to constantly keep making different things. And eventually the Oak-chan formula stuck with me. But I was like, this is the one thing that I'm not getting bored of. This is the thing that I'm just want to keep kind of running with and going with. And obviously I think a lot of it boils down to the voice actress, Frankie. Mm-hmm. She just puts, mm-hmm. honestly, it's not without her, because the process is I write the script, I sit in with my friends, we have a laugh, I talk through it with them. They, you know, oh, this works, that's funny, that's not, this is good, this isn't. And then I sit in with Frankie, and then she gives it, it's not complete until she fully goes through it and then adds her little spins onto it.
Is that how she is in real life too? Just like the character?
Well, she's British as well. So she's also British. So it's, people really do find it strange when she's got like a British accent. And
No, but I just mean like completely vile. Like,
no, to be honest, she's like the opposite. Horrible. She's the opposite. And she's like really sweet, really nice. And then all of a sudden she just like flips into Oh-chan mode and just like goes for it. You know what I mean?
Is there a particular reason, by the way? I noticed this, that previously it seemed like Video Game Donkey held the record for the most swearing in YouTube videos.
Fucking worthless, brain dead, scum fuck bastard, pile of trash, mental dick face that should be gunned down in the street like the degenerate he is.
But it seems like Oda-chan has him beat. Like, is there a particular reason why she's so fucking profane? So,
all right, okay, am I allowed to swear? Yeah, I was about to say,
go for
okay,
it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, great. Let's just get that out there. I just enjoy the word. I enjoy the word fuck. I mean, I get a lot of fuck for it. I will tell you the response to the show so far. I'll tell you that. There's another tale. But I get a lot of fuck because everyone's like, yeah, she just says fuck too much. She says fuck too much. She's like, fuck this, fuck that. It always adds a bit of spice to whatever I'm writing. I'm like, yeah, we could throw a fuck in there and it really just give it a bit of kick. But there's just, I don't know. I can't help myself sometimes. It's just, I'm just writing away like, fuck, 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 fuck. And then I now have a dedicated person who pulls me to one side and is like, in that one sentence, she says fuck 4 times. Get rid of it. Like, trim it, you know? But how it worked was, up until we started making the show, as in we went fully animated, I would always have like a topic that I wanted to talk about. And I think the best example for me personally was I was talking about these Newgrounds games, these dating simulators, these like really old ones that I used to play when I was too young to be playing them. These really old explicit dating simulators. Yes, please. Yeah, Frankie's probably, yeah, Frankie, kill it. An episode.
Oh yeah, I was just typing that in the chat.
She'd be a lot better than me.
Has she been arrested for tax fraud?
She hasn't. I'm sure she will. The fame will get
not
to her
yet.
Head. Yeah. By the end of the month, I'm sure.
By the way, towards the end of episode one, as Oda-chan's getting arrested, she says,
fuck off me! Fucking shut up! Fucking infomercial here, you fucking cocksucker!
Which is exactly what Leonardo DiCaprio's character says in Wolf of Wall Street when he's getting arrested. So, are Oda-chan and Leonardo DiCaprio the same person in a different, you know, like dimension?
Yeah. Like, is Oda-chan Leonardo DiCaprio's waifu? Who knows? Who knows? He could literally, you know. I love Oda-chan.
Like, yeah. By the way, in the chat, I had typed type one for a palm reading. So about 100 people in the chat are expecting me to read their palms on air. Guys, lift your palm up to the sky and I'll do a group reading right now.
Make sure you're doing this if you're listening to this after the fact as well, because Joe is technically capable of that, even ahead of time. So get your hand out.
Right. Okay. There's somebody listening to this in California named Daniel. Daniel, this one's for you. You are going to come into a large sum of money.
Whoa.
There's somebody listening in Europe whose name is Steven. Steven, you are going to win the lottery, but don't quit your day job yet. And for everybody else, I'm picking up on something. In California, Daniel. Daniel. Dan Cameron?
You're just obsessed with Dan Cameron, Joe.
David Cameron?
Dan Cameron. Dan Cameron. Why am I... He lives on PCH?
Oh, no.
He drives a...
You might want to explain the meme to him.
Dan Cameron, you paid the price. Traveling
you just sound insane
the
otherwise
devil.
Right now. You sound, like, literally insane if you don't explain this, Joe.
I'm loving it. Don't
no,
stop.
Wait. Hold on. Dan Cameron, we paid the price driving on a Scion that night on PCH.
I feel like I'm by a campfire. This is great. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like I'm on the old dusty trail.
And for everybody else, yep, those are hands.
That works.
Those first two that came into money, patreon.com/
T1 podcast.
You know, get on there, sort me out, you know.
Guys in the chat, what do you think of my my psychic abilities?
For two people, you actually gave like a half-assed reading, and for the rest of them, you guys have hands.
Yeah, those are hands. You don't have enough time to get to everybody. The $10, join the $10 tier for a palm reading.
Someone says lowest tier is $1, cough it up. No, actually, we have a $2 tier as our lowest. Because, oh, a little tip for you, Yusuf. I don't know how you have your tiers set up, but we know this guy named Asterios Kokonos, who's one of the biggest Patreon guys. Like, he makes just an absolute shitload of money on there.
Right.
And he says that a $1 tier is basically worthless.
Well, Patreon actually tells you the same. They beg, like, just get rid of what... It's costing us money to have this tier. Just change it to two, for God's sakes. Uh-huh. And I need to change mine to two.
Yeah. You make a lot of money on Patreon. Does that all go towards, like, anime development?
So that goes... Yeah, so basically how that all came about. So that...
I know that's kind of a weird question. Like, how do you spend your money?
So let's get my tax records up, boys. Let's go. Let's get into it now. It fluctuates between 10 and 12. It fluctuates. And the majority, well, all of it goes towards the show, the production of the show. And that is paying Studio Yuraki to monthly to animate it. And then Frankie. And then the odd artists and stuff like that. They do little things.
The chat is speculating that it's 50% martini slush fund, 25% cocaine, and 25% booze. But they're not right.
Yeah, so when I say Frankie, that's an anagram for... I'm not going to try and cook that up. But yeah, because that kind of came out of the blue. I didn't, because hand on heart, I was like, this ain't going to... Set the Patreon up. I was like, if it hits $3,000, I'll have enough to pay my voice. Because, like I said, I did it as a hobby. It was a part time, it was a hobby. Then we got demonetized, and I was like, okay, let's do a Patreon because I'm demonetized now. Hey, now's the time to. If I was gonna make one, now would be the time. And then I made it, and I was like, okay, if I'm making a Patreon, I want to give people stuff. I want to be sending stuff to people because, like, I don't know. I think getting something physical is always nice. So then I was like, okay, we'll design these clothes. And then in designing those clothes, this was when at the start of this podcast, I was like, snowball. That's the key word of my life. Things just snowballed. Because I was like, okay, if I'm designing clothes, I have to design this many so people can get them every 2 months. And da, da, da. So then by the next thing I knew, I was designing a whole season. I was like, I got eight items, which constitutes like a season. And the clothing thing is a big thing for me. I'm a big believer on this idea of like, I just take my time with everything. So the clothing thing, it's designed from the ground up by me. I'm designing season two at the moment. And then I've got my own team that makes the things and they're all done to my size specifications and all that crazy stuff. And it's just really, I'm really, really into it in a weird way. But I set this Patreon up and I was like, it's going to hit $3,000 and that's enough. That's enough to pay Studio Yuraki, who at this point were doing small, like 15-second animations for me. And then the voice actress, Frankie. And the next thing, and like an idiot, I was like, hey, if this hits, you know, this breaks $10,000, I'll make it into a fully animated show. Next thing you know, it flies on past that. And I was like, oh no, right, okay. We're making a show, boys.
Did you have to talk them into making this longer length of animation? Because
so it was
they were only used to doing
tough, that? Yeah, because they it's really interesting working with these boys, the Yuraki boys, because I went from being the, not to like toot my own horn, or I went from being I will blow smoke up my own ass. I will do it. Being the like, what I thought was the smartest man in the room. I was like, yeah, I can edit everything. I can, because at this point I was animating Otochan through in After Effects, through like a live 2D model that I was keyframing in After Effects. So she was like a puppet. It was like Archer, do you know what I mean? She was like just kind of puppeting around. But I couldn't really do the skits that I wanted to do. I couldn't do them because I was like, it's my animation is letting me down. So I needed to get somebody who knew what they were doing. So I went from being the smartest guy in the room who was like, I know what I'm doing, I know everything, to the dumbest, to going around all to these people that are like super hardworking, super dedicated, super switched on. And it's just, it was really interesting to be around them. And when I said, look, the budget's gone up, could you do it? Could you do this kind of 5-minute, you know, long episodes? Because that's all I was willing to do. I was like, if we're going to do it right, we can't do a 20-minute, like a high concept fantasy shonen show. It's not going to work. We're not, I don't have the skill to pull that off. I was like, well, let's just do a short slice of life series and so we can do it right. You know what I mean? And not get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just been outsourced at that point by Japan. A studio in Japan had outsourced them to work on a show, a seasonal show at the time. And they were like, look, Yusuf, we are, we were down to do the smaller little 15-second bits, but we can't at the moment because we're literally just like, we've been booked by somebody else. And I was like, oh my God, oh no. So I had the budget. I had no team to take it. And I was like, just going from like studio to studio, seeing who would take me. And long story short, I got bounced around, messed around backwards and forwards. And, I ended up going back to Studio Yuraki. I was like, please, can you do it? And they were like, and some time had passed at this point. About 2 months had passed at this point because I was just literally getting bounced backwards and forwards. And they were like, we can do it. We've just got some time. What do you need? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the problem? How can we help? And I was like, oh, thank you. So to this day, honestly, those boys saved my life. Nagus.
That is such a roller coaster.
It's crazy. Nagusami said, what happened to Collateral Damage Studios? Collateral Damage Studios, they were based in Singapore. They're really fantastic guys as well. I went to them originally and I said, look, can you do this series? I've got the budget. I've got the season planned. Well, I've got the first couple episodes planned out. Can you do it? And they were like, look, we used to do animation because they animated, they did like a Microsoft anime girl for Microsoft or something like this. And they said, we used to do animation. But our guy he burnt himself out. It was so hard for us that we just vowed to never do animation again. But they were like, we can help you do the storyboards. So they actually came on board and bless them. They helped me with the storyboards. They actually talked me through the animation process. This is before I had a studio. They were like, look, you might have to do it yourself. So this is what you'll need. You'll need this person, that person, this. So like,
that's really helpful of them.
Really nice people. I met some really nice people along the way that were just like, you know, just more that they were just so helpful. And like all these animation boys, I tip my hat to them all because being on the inside now, like looking at how stuff actually gets made, even when I'm watching a show, like anime fans will watch a show and they'll be like, oh, that's trash. This show's garbage. This show's terrible. I'm sat there like, this is great. This is glass. Oh my God, it's moving. Joey, like, whoa.
Joe, are you all right? This sounded super phlegmy, by the way. Are you ill?
I'm sorry. You cut out.
Oh, are you all right? You made this super phlegmy like noise and I was concerned.
Yusuf, are you able to hear Lars? His thing is like bleeping.
No,
beeping,
no, I can hear Lars. I can hear Lars.
I can't hear him either.
No, I can hear him. I can hear Lars.
Can or can't?
I can.
If you can hear me correctly, say spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
This thing is moving, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah, Joe can't hear you.
I think Joe has muted me.
Lars, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Lars?
Everyone in the chat can hear me.
Why are they typing spaghetti?
Because he said, if you can hear me, say spaghetti. This is great. This is like passing on like whispers here.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, while we wait for Lars to fix his technical error,
there's no technical
why don't
error.
We do another palm reading in the chat?
He says there's no technical error. I'm reading his mind. He says there's no technical error. He says he thinks he's mute. You've muted him?
Yep.
I didn't. Oh, now I can hear you.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you are. What happened?
Nothing happened, Joe. You're just being weird.
Anyway, why don't we talk about episode two a little bit? I had another one of my hard hitting questions.
We can do that in a second, Joe. I think we should go ahead and talk about our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, guys. Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free audiobook today. That's free as in beer, not fear as in free. Yeah, that's free as in beer, not free as in freedom. Get any book on Audible today, and you can keep the book whether you keep the service or not. Someone in the chat says, I can't read. This is a perfect service for you at that point. If you can't read, you can have a book read to you on Audible. Someone in the chat says, can write, can't read, also can't hear. How would you even know what we're talking about if you can't hear us? That's a new one. But in the meantime, guys, just, it's a free book. You get it whether you keep the service or not. It's a no-brainer. You don't have to pay for anything, but if you do want to, they start at very affordable monthly rates. audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Joe, what's that URL?
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
That's right. Get a free book today.
I am not sponsored by Audible, but to help these boys out, I recently got The Sandman on Audible. It's fantastic, boys. Fantastic. Mm. So take these boys on their offer and get that book. If you like DC, if you like comics or anything like that, The Sandman, very, very, very good. Because I can't read either. I'm
illiterate.
Oh, yeah. Joe has just committed to the bit that he just says he's illiterate at this point on the show. It's pretty incredible.
It's not a bit. I fell through the system.
Just fell through the cracks. Joe, you know what? We can learn together.
Sure. Let's learn together. Guys in the chat, if you want to learn together, type 2. All right. It looks like everybody's on my side.
We got a Kickstarter on our hands, boys.
Moderator.
Get Yusuf and Joe to read. Help them to read. Fund.
In Worst Anime Ever Written, Oda-chan Episode 2, the opening scene shows a phony place station, which I'm assuming is meant to represent a Sony PlayStation, but I'm just guessing. Is this... In the same scene, she answers the phone and goes off entirely on the person on the other line, claiming, or clearly she's mad that she's been arrested and now on house arrest. But in a previous episode, she was also showing signs of anger issues. So my question is, does Oda-chan ever get the help she needs to address the underlying mental health concerns that are clearly going on in this anime girl?
No, we're just going to make her push it deep, deep, deep down inside every episode. She's just going to repress it more and more until she like changes color from purple to like green and just explodes. She's going to push it deep, deep down inside. Until, if anybody's seen Akira, the end of Akira, there's this character that turns into this big kind of crazy blob. If you haven't seen it, look it up. He, like, the power goes to his head, and he becomes this big amorphous, horrible blob. That's what we're going to do. She's going to push down all the problems until she just explodes. Kev Nyan's in the chat. He's one of the animators who worked on episode 2. Very good lad.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Should he come on to say hello?
If he's available.
Would you like to say hi? Do you have a mic?
He does.
Lars, what do you think?
Sure.
Get him on.
Well, let me unmute you. All right. Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're an artist? You worked on the show?
Yeah, I did the Tekken sequence in the beginning of episode 2.
What was your inspiration?
Tekken.
Tekken. Definitely Tekken.
good.
I've got a gun to Kev's, like, hey, I'm just DMing Kev right now, like, don't fucking tell him how much I pay you. The dog shit wages I pay you. Don't
fuck this up for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Kev, you don't tell them about the abuse.
Street Fighter. If you mess up.
How did you guys meet each other?
Kev?
Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter? In the chat, someone says, Joe, do you even know what Tekken is? What the fuck do you take me for?
Well, yeah,
fucking
Joe,
idiot.
You asked him what the Tekken sequence was inspired by. Like, what do you think?
Well,
I didn't hear
that one word. I didn't. I was adjusting my headphones. Okay, I was adjusting my headphones. Let me get us back on track. John Cameron.
Oh,
yes,
boy. All right.
Everybody laugh. Everybody laugh at Joe.
Yep.
Everybody
Joe,
laugh at
I
Joe.
I'll join in and also laugh at Joe. I think I will point you laugh.
Everybody have a good laugh.
I got a real hoot out of that one.
Yeah, Twitter. Kevin. Kev drew you. A dirty animation of Ochan and Zoltan.
What a word to not hear. I heard something sequence. You know. Lars is having a good chuckle.
We broke him. We lost him.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
okay. Continue.
Yeah, go on. How do you guys know each other?
I messaged him on Twitter. And I was like, "Hey, can I do a fan art?" I did this like Zoltan and Ochan animation, and I pretty much just like did like a quick sequence where they like almost kiss and then it like cuts out. And then like I don't know, I'm just like cucking weebs over here. So I thought it would be like a quick funny bit, and then he's just like, "Hey, like you wanna like work together on like a project?" And I was like, "Yeah, totally." So I just started doing like fan art, and then I'm pretty much just new to like doing animation over the past year. So it's a great opportunity to just like get involved, you know.
That's cool. That is awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to work on this project, since that sounds like that's something that you were really passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty much just, like, what fuels it, you know? Just, yeah, I always tell them, like, this is just a passion project. I just, like, love doing this.
I'm like, yes, good. Yeah, I will not pay you anything because it's passion, remember? Passion for everything. But no, because he's got, Kev's crazy. He's got this crazy style that as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is fucking dope. Jeremy's class. So I was like, and he's a one-man, he's crazy. This guy's like a one-man band. So like, he just churns it out. So I was like, please.
Like the Beatles.
Yes. Just John. like the one Beatle. He's the one Beatle that matters. Whoever that may be to you personally.
Well, I just followed you on Twitter, Kev.
Well, thank you.
Do you go by Kev?
Yeah, Kev Nyan.
Okay. How does it feel to be compared to the Beatles, the one man band? Because some would say that. You know, some would say, I don't want to toot my own horn. But then some others might say, I do want to toot my own horn. I'm better than the Beatles.
How'd you deal with the pressure, Kev?
It makes me sweaty. Too much. That's too much pressure.
How'd you deal with that pressure?
The pressure makes me work harder, but I think that being called the Beatle makes me sweaty.
Do you feel in the next month or so you'll have some sort of a Kanye-esque Twitter rant, Kev, due to the pressure?
Yeah. I'm gonna end up talking about how everyone cares too much about Pokimane on my Twitter.
I look forward to it. I really do.
By the way, thanks for following me back on Twitter. Now you're following 667. It's not 666 anymore. So you have to unfollow somebody else.
I gotta go all the way through the list. I've been doing that like every single day.
Yeah.
Someone's gotta make the cut.
Well, just unfollow Joe.
I just hope I stay on there for like a good week. If I stay on before I eventually get cycled back out, I'll be happy.
Laz, hath returned.
I'm back. What did I miss?
Hey. Oh, just the funniest bit of my lifetime.
Is that true, guys? Like, was there?
It was pretty intense. I don't think I'll ever laugh.
It wasn't the very funniest.
As hard as all that in mind. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Like, I've kind of reached the zenith of my existence in the last 5 seconds.
Well, I guess I'll hear it in the editing room. All right.
They're saying we were all crying laughing.
Yeah.
All right. Oof, I laughed too much. What does it mean to laugh too much?
Did you enjoy your water, Lars, that you went to get and missed the life-changing humor that was the last past 5 seconds?
I guess it was the most expensive water I'll ever get.
It was life-changing for me. I actually reached Nirvana while I was doing that bit.
Like the band?
No, the spiritual state of existence. Yeah, right. I transformed while I was, yeah. So this is what Nirvana's like.
So this is
not very exciting.
It's lonely at the top, boys. Lonely at the top.
All right.
In the chat, somebody says puking makes me laugh. It's a vicious cycle.
Oh, that's rough.
That is an existence.
Like you're just like
puking makes me laugh. It's a vicious cycle. So like laughing makes you puke too.
Can I put that in an episode? That makes the cut.
All right.
Yeah.
What did I actually? Are we on a different topic now, or what's going on?
Well, I can't remember what the original. Do you want me to just keep spieling about the show? Because I've got buckets.
Now we're talking about. Now we're talking about bratwursts. Actually,
is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about how it ranges from region to region in Germany.
Yeah, if you go to Germany, they have the knockwurst.
Oh, very exciting, guys. So yep. maybe we should talk more about Yusuf.
Before we move on, Yusuf, where would you say has the best bratwurst?
It's torn between Munich and, you know, for me, it's somewhere along the Rhine and Munich. I'm really torn. Munich's more smoky. The Rhine has a bit more of an aromatic kind of flavor. I'm really feeling it.
I really like Germany.
I've never been.
In general, I wish I got to spend more time in Germany when I was there last. I was in Berlin and Cologne. I really loved Cologne, and it was nice.
Go ahead and say the other city, Joe. I know you want to say it.
Berlin, Cologne,
Stuttgart.
Oh yes, Stuttgart's nice.
Stuttgart.
there was like a month period after Joe got back where he would bring up the town Stuttgart on every episode just because I think he likes how it sounds.
Yeah, how it felt.
Stuttgart.
In your mouth to say.
Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, yeah. That's good, yeah. I did German in school and I completely forgot it. Mein Bein tut weh, mein Bauch tut weh.
Rockshell in the chat is German and he's saying that's still the wrong pronunciation. Well, you know.
Isn't it? It's Stuttgart?
I don't know, man. I'm not German.
I was asking Rockshell. Stuttgart?
Yeah, okay. Kickstarter to teach me and Joe German. Second Kickstarter of the podcast.
Oh, Comedy Gold in the chat right now. Stuttgart, more like Stutt Fart. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
It's making the episode, boys.
Funny stuff. Funny stuff. Funny stuff.
Towards the end of the third minute of episode 2, Oda-chan is watching the news, and the news person describes some danger. A local adorable anime girl had been murdered, and the killer had remained at large, so he follows this up with, if you are a cute anime girl, we urge you to please stay indoors. And I just wanted to take a moment to reflect on this, because imagine if a news person actually were to report on a murder and follow it up with, if you are a cute anime girl, we urge you to please stay indoors. Like, clearly there's no other danger if you're not, because the first victim was a cute anime girl. Clearly he's own, like, there's no pattern that's emerged yet.
Joe, if all of our newscasters ended their broadcast with, if you're a cute anime girl, please stay indoors, I think a lot of senseless violence, a lot of lives could be saved. It's a sad day that they don't do that. You know?
Wait, Yusuf, do you think that anime girls are real? I'm concerned.
It's a blur for me right now. At what point are they not for me? Think about it. I spend more time looking at this purple piece of shit than I do like looking at real people.
All right.
At this point, it's a blur.
Yusuf, I'm kind of curious if...
Yes.
I'm kind of curious to learn, who is Yusuf? Like, what else do you do?
So... I long walks on the beach, all that jazz. Like I said, this was YouTube and stuff was just a big hobby. Do you know what I mean? Big, huge bit of fun, big ball of fun for me. Only in the last, obviously, since we launched the Patreon, has it turned into the full-time, hey, this is your life, 24/7 type deal? And for the most part, I had a job, I worked, and I'd go to work, come home, chill out, and then do this thing on the night when I was like, ah, oh, let's just keep making this thing. But it was kind of the need to just keep making this, writing this character and keep making this show. But it was, it's a really deep question, Lars and Joe. Where's Yusuf? It's just, I don't know, it was just, I think I kind of pride myself in a weird way to respond to the deep question with a deep answer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my nugget of wisdom to all YouTubers out there.
Okay.
Because I can only speak from my own experience. I think it's important to always ask yourself, who is Yusuf?
Mm-hmm.
Apply it to yourself. And
I ask myself that every day.
You should.
Who's Yusuf? Who's this guy we're interviewing it to?
Why is he coming out? You know?
Yeah, who is he?
Why are we doing this? This is what's kept me kind of sane for now. I have one foot in the real world. So I have one foot in, like, I have nothing to do with the computer. I'm just out and about enjoying nature and life and chilling out, and one foot in like the online internet sphere. Do you know what I mean? And because I have two fucking feet in very different worlds, it keeps me sane. Do you know what I mean? I think if you step right into the internet world, it's crazy. There's just so much going on, you know? It's, it can get crazy because I've never experienced any like crazy backlash or crazy this or crazy that, but like you get comments, you get bad comments, you get good comments, you get loads of comments. But it's like, if you're not, you have to, if that is your whole entire life, then it can kind of get on top of you. You know, if you get a lot of like, ah, this is bad, this sucks and blah, 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 this is shit, yada, yada, yada. It can really, you know, get on top of you if you don't have that ability to be, do you know what? You know, I've had enough internet for one day. I'm going to go chill out, you know? And when it becomes your full-time occupation, I think it's important to know, like, right, okay, this is the cutoff point where I don't look at it anymore. And I go and I do something else, you know?
What do you have a favorite tea?
Do you know what? It's just standard English breakfast tea. No.
How do you take your tea?
So milk, no sugar. I'm sweet enough as it is, boys.
Ooh.
Milk first or milk second?
Tea bag in, hot water, let it brew, then get your tea in. Get your milk in.
Mm-hmm. And do you put how do you heat up the water?
Because
I know that a lot of British people have a preference.
So up until now, I had a kettle, but since I hit those big Patreon bucks, I've got one of those hot taps that automatically makes hot water. But I didn't spend the Patreon money on the hot tap. It was a joke. But yeah,
wait, it comes out boiling?
Yeah, so it's like a special tap that's designed to kill you, and you just push a button and hot, boiling hot water comes out.
I feel like that'd be kind of dangerous, though. Like,
it takes some
getting quite warm.
It's like, don't forget to shut up.
You come home drunk one night, and it's just like, oh, whoops.
Totally.
You die. Yeah.
Down to the old A&E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Take some figuring out.
Joe, do you have any more questions you want to ask our elegant Egyptian guest?
Bow to your pharaoh, Joe.
I think it's further proof that Oda-chan is a time-traveling interdimensional alien because... in the newsroom, they referred to humans as cute anime girls, which you wouldn't have if that wasn't the case. That's sort of a throwaway. At the 5-minute mark, she's standing on the balcony with a friend and recounts that she could start in OnlyFans, but her breasts were repossessed by the IRS. However, in the very same scene, you can see that she does still have breasts. And since this incongruity could never have made it past editing, it leaves me with even more evidence towards her deteriorating mental health, since she clearly believes that the IRS did repossess her breasts, something that would never happen in real life.
Yeah, Lars, what do you think of that? Wait, come on, answer us. We want to know.
Yeah.
Wait, this is directed towards me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was kind of spaced out because I thought you were asking Yusuf something.
No, I'll throw you a curveball. Okay, how do you know? Cam, the friend she stood with, how do you know she's real?
You don't. I think that's kind of the mystique.
Oh, the girl that she's... Right, okay, yeah, I never even noticed that.
Because
she's ignoring her, too.
Yeah. Maybe she's Sawa-chan creating a stable figure in her life to create some fucking stability. It's not. Everybody calm down, but could be.
Oh, that's good.
Which is interesting. I fucking forgot. I was going to tell you something. Oh, no. It was revolutionary and mind-blowing. And I've completely forgotten. Someone said it in the chat. No! It slipped my mind entirely. It will come back to me. It will come back to me at some point. Egyptian pharaoh. No, it's gone. But I will tell you something interesting about the progress of this show.
Please do.
Because I am not qualified to be doing the things I'm doing.
Oh.
I'm the first person to put my hands up and be like, I am not the guy. You know, I'm not the one.
Sure.
Because, like I said, it all kind of snowballed. And I have a passion for this thing. And I enjoy doing this thing that I do. It's definitely like a steep learning curve. It went from, okay, you have to now write a full season of this show, where it is like, you know, episode one, episode two. There's 5 episodes in the season. And at first, I've written the first 3 episodes. All through the first 3 have been written. They've been voiced. They've been storyboarded. Episode 4 had been storyboarded. And 5 was kind of in the ether. It's all loosely there. But episodes 1 to 3, and this is why it's, I don't know, it's interesting because episodes 1 to 3, I wrote them and I only realize this now that I look back on them as now they're written and they're getting worked on, is I wrote them with this mindset of, okay, we just got to get it to function like it. My brain was so tied up in, you know, it has to actually look like a legit anime. It has to look, it has to pass the Turing test. Like, it needs to be, an anime fan can watch this thing and look at it and go, yeah, this looks like anime. Because it sounds crazy, but things can try to look like anime, but not actually look like a legitimate Japanese produced show. And we still haven't got there yet. We are nowhere near. We're getting there in some shots, but we're still nowhere near, because Japan, they're just ridiculously talented. Episodes 1 to 3 was concerned with, you know, we just got to get it to function. Like, it has to, you know. And I look back on my writing 1 to 3, and the writing, personally for me, I'm like, okay, I'm improving. I'm trying to improve with every episode, because, like, I'm not, like I said, my writing is not my strongest point. And with 1, it was a very quick, because of the circumstances leading up to the episode, it was very short, very quick. And we got a lot of criticism on it. It came out, you know, thankfully it did well. And the response, honestly, I'd say about, for episode 1, I'd say 80% of people really liked it. They were like, oh, this is fantastic. 15% of people were like, hey, this is all right, but I'm disappointed with this. And 5% of people were like, this is dog shit, right? And the 5% of people saying this is dog shit, I couldn't really do anything with it. I was like, it is what it is. I was interested in the 15%. I was really interested in, like, right, what's the issue with it? Because I knew what my issues were with it, with episode 1. I was like, it's too short. The ad break's too long. A lot of it is the infomercial. I had my issues with it. And then that 15%, they were hitting on the same problems I had with my own thing. So one guy made a video on it, and he was called, he's really good. He makes videos on all of AniTube. Shabes, he's called. He's called AniTube Digest, and he makes videos. Every time someone makes a video on AniTube, he makes a video on it where he discusses it. And before I was bringing my video out, he was like, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be fantastic. But when it came out, he actually was like, I'm disappointed. I thought it was going to be better than what it was. It wasn't good for these reasons. So I actually messaged him on Twitter. I was like, please go and get in a call, honestly. And it wasn't to, like, yell at him and be like, what the fuck are you telling me? I sat down with him. I was like, Shapes, mate, tell me honestly, like, what was wrong with one, you know? So he told me what he thought was wrong with one. And I said, okay, I had the animatic done for episode two. I was like, do me a favor, sit in with me and watch this animatic for episode two. Because I've tried to improve on what I thought was wrong with one, i.e. I've made it longer, the ad break is less kind of obnoxious, the jokes, there's still a lot of fuck this and fuck that, but I tried to tighten up the jokes a little bit. People were like, oh, Chan's just kind of cringy, she's a bit vapid, there's no kind of like substance to her at all. So I was like, okay, with this one, you know, I want to try and get write something where I actually give a shit about what I'm writing. Like, I'm actually, it's not just tits, tits, fuck, fuck, joke, joke, joke. There's some sort of like,
which would have been fine.
Yeah. You know, there's no need for me to do it, but I was like, I feel like I should. This, all these boys are working so hard on it. So much money's going into it. Like, wait, I feel like I should, you know.
Real quick, guys, we forgot to do a clap sync. So can we do one for the editing?
Yes.
Okay. Clap on three. One, two, all right, I'll just have to look for that like an hour into the recording. That'll be fine. Sorry we forgot to do that. By the way, I just wanted to say, like, and I don't mean this rudely whatsoever, I can see why some people wouldn't like the Oda-chan show, because it's pretty drenched in irony and meta stuff. I can see how some people would want something a little bit more sincere.
Without a doubt.
But I can also see, I think a lot more people would like it, just because it's goofy in a way that I think people really appreciate.
Well, I honestly, yeah. I didn't have that realization until about three episodes in, and I was going, I was like, hang on, what the fuck am I doing? I've been handed the golden opportunity to make a show. You know, not a lot of people get that opportunity. And I just thought, what the fuck am I, hang on a minute? This needs to be right. I can't just be like, fuck, fuck, tits, tits, tits. I was like, okay, I need to, everybody else is doing the best. Everybody else is trying their best. Do you know what I mean? And for me now, I've been relegated to writing now. I do pre-composition, so I put it all together. But for the most part, I write the thing. So it's like, everybody's killing it right now. I could be letting the side down here by not writing, by not having my writing being tighter, having substance to it, having a meaning. Do you know what I mean? There's a bit more to it, and we do like fuck, fuck, tits, tits. Like, that shouldn't go, because that's part of, it's never gonna go, because that is what it is. It's what she was born from, so that will always stay. But yeah, that call with Shabes, that was interesting, because he watched episode two and he was like, okay, good, you've improved on this, you've improved on that, this is still a bit wonky, but you know, it's a good step forwards. And episode two, the responses were good. It was like 90% liked it. I'd say 5%, you know, 5% of people were like, eh, this is, you know, problem with this. And then the other five were like, this is cringy. This fucking sucks.
Well, those are the people that just like Sesame Street.
Yeah. And- some people won't like it. They won't like it. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? And you have to learn to be like, you're putting your creation out there. It's now going to be judged on a different standard because you're trying to pass it as something professional. Yeah. So you have to look at it like, I made a point to be like, no matter if people fucking hate it, like, listen to what they have to say, because it's important, because there's a nugget of something useful in there to, you know, because you could be wrong. You know, I'm not a genius. I'm not like, I know exactly what I'm doing. This works. You know, this is, you know, the best in the world.
Oh, that reminds me of something, by the way. I kind of wanted to ask a question. I've asked this to a couple different creators over time, and I'm curious if you have any advice for getting good, honest feedback from people?
Mm-hmm. I feel like don't be too precious with your ideas. You know, don't be too precious with your ideas and what you think is right. Mm-hmm. But then don't be too, it's a balance. You take what you can from people. Like, when I sit down with somebody, I'll ask for their opinion. And I won't be selective. I won't cherry pick the things that I like that they said. I will take on everything they've said. But some stuff, you know already. Do you know what I mean? If some guy's, oh, the music was a bit too loud, you know, in the back of your head, like, yeah, I'm going to fix that later so I can sort that out. But I wouldn't be too precious with your ideas. I'd be willing to, I think, listen to people. But no, have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in yourself. It's a real balance. You have confidence in your ability. But it's always important to listen to people, take on things, and always try to evolve, always try to be a little bit better. The next thing you do, just that little bit better, you know, always evolve, because then you don't stagnate. And I feel like a lot of people do. They find a thing that works for them. They get comfortable with that thing, and then they run that thing into the ground and they stagnate because they don't, they're not thinking, right, where do I go from here? What's the next thing I do? What's the next thing I do? What's the next thing I do? And then learning something from that next thing. Hey, I did a 3D background this time. I now know how to use this software, blah, blah, blah. This is just applying to, like, from what I've done in mine. But yeah, because with me, I really had to do that with my scripts. I used to, so for example, the point I was going to kind of, I was going to go into is I wrote 1 to 3 and they were very kind of inconsequential. The ending of 2 is where I was trying to express something within myself a little bit, because the idea was like, okay, write what you know what, like, cause my animators asked me, they're like, so what's Ochan? Who is she? What's her drive? What are you doing, Yusuf? Who are you, Yusuf?
And, who is Yusuf?
Who is Yusuf? They look at me. Who is Yusuf? I'm like, who am I? Looking up at Zoolander, looking in the puddle.
This is a school for ants.
Yeah.
Reference.
And it was write what you know. And by episode 2, I was in this mindset of like, Ochan's kind of an extension of me. She's an extension of a couple of other team, an extension of Frankie. I'm trying to make her so she's an extension almost of the fans a little bit. She's an anime girl that as a fan you can look at and you can go, hey, she's going through a lot of shit that I could potentially be going through. She's going through, like, she's something that isn't just this like, hee-hee, cute, squeaky anime girl. She can actually be something you can look at and really think like, hey, you know, I can kind of like relate to her on some sort of level. And in that level, I wanted it to be like a fuck up. I was like, you know, we're all fuck ups at some point. None of us are like just amazing. And with episode 2, towards that ending bit, what I was trying to kind of write from myself, from my perspective, was this idea of she's been handed this opportunity of where, like, you know, in that episode, she has to write an episode. She has to write her own show. She's been handed that thing. And she fucks it up. She can't do it because she's bad. She's a piece of shit. She fucks it up. But by the end of it, she's feeling pretty bad about it because she's like, I could be making something great here, but I am not the person to do it. You know, like, have I been handed this off? Am I the wrong person for this job? That's what I wanted for that thing to kind of be explored in that ending bit. You know, you've been given this opportunity. Yeah. Are you going to fuck it up? You know, are you going to lose it all? Are you going to fuck it up? Are you going to go back to zero? It's a possibility. And I thought it'd be a nice thing to, a bit of meta commentary to get in there, because we're all about that. But I scrapped 4 and 5 after episode 1 to 3, and I had that realization. I scrapped episodes 4 and 5, and I rewrote them from the ground up. And I wrote them with this mindset of being quite loose with the scripting, so I can have that, so it can have that, I don't know, a bit more substance to it. So hopefully 4. I just, by the end of the season, I want to make what in my head is called the perfect episode, meaning it's the visuals are perfect. They're like, okay, yeah, visually, this is bang on. And the writing is like, okay, yeah, this is bang on. Not to like, oh, please everybody, but to me, it's like, no, to me, that's perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. By the way, when can we expect some new episodes to come out?
So we're going into August. The boys over at Yuraki were working on 2 and 3. We're working at 2 and 3 at the same time. So 3, there's a good chunk of it actually done. And then throughout July, we all slowed right down. I think we were all so tired after 2. We all just slowed down. But now they're back on it this month. They're all kind of flying on with it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully soon, hopefully coming. And I never like to say, because whenever I say a date, it gets jinxed and gets fucked up, do you know what I mean? But I'm hoping somewhere towards the end of this month, coming into next month, hopefully. Merryweather has helped me out in getting a Japanese dub of episodes 1 and 2. Yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah, the cool guy himself. So that's been recorded. I just need to put it all together. You know, I'm putting episode 1 and 2 together as like a Japanese dub. And I'll probably have that out before we obviously put episode 3 out, just for the fans.
Exciting.
So, by the way, I'd like to point out that sort of in the background as this interview has been going on, we've had Dan Cameron, who's a server member. He keeps joining the server. He'll actually enter the voice call, and he gives himself the staff role or the upcoming guest role, and then he gets banned for multiple rule violations, only to rejoin moments later. And this is all happening simultaneously as the interview is taking place.
Yeah, I feel like we shouldn't explain too much of this because, like, it's kind of off-air stuff, though, and it's not going to make sense to anyone who's listening to the show for the first time. But yeah.
No, well, I mean, think it'll be a nice little chestnut cherry blossom for the repeat listeners.
Yeah, guys, if you want to know what the hell Joe's talking about, go listen to some of the other episodes. You'll learn about the legend of Dan Cameron, who is so really hard to explain. Just off the cuff.
But let me try. Okay. Let me try. Dan Cameron, we paid the price riding on the highway. So I don't know if that explains anything.
That explains absolutely nothing. I'm more confused. All right. Oh, by the way, how are we doing for time? Do you guys want to kind of wrap things up, or what do you want to do?
There actually is. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up. There is an actual song.
Okay.
About this.
Okay, but this has nothing to do with our guest, Joe. Let's talk to our guest.
No, I'm sure.
No, I think this is going to really change my life. At the end of this, I'm going to I'm going to change my channel to get a Dan Cameron cameo.
Yeah, we have this opportunity to become influential.
Well, because this is, like, for all of our returning listeners, they're going to be like, it's the thing, but then everyone else is going to be like, what the fuck are they on about?
Oh, well, here's one for the chat. In this season, who do you want a cameo in the season? Bear in mind, I am trying to do an OVA, so the big ones, I'll probably get them in the OVA. And also, boys, Joe, Laz, if you could have somebody cameo, who would you want it to be? Apart from Dan Cameron.
Like, anime characters, or?
Anybody in the sphere. I mean, in episode 2, we got Internet Historian to get on the TV and lend his voice, so.
Bren Daniel. That's my answer. Do you know who that is?
No. Let me look.
Okay.
Say it again.
Bren Daniel. Brendan. Yeah, it's like Brendan and then Daniel mushed together. If you have ever heard his voice, you will see why I'm recommending that. He has the most distinct voice in all of voiceover.
I'll find him. Oh, here we go. Tales from 4chan.
Because a lot of you have requested it. Here it is. Tales from 4chan.
He's got such a nice creamy voice.
Mm-hmm. Creamy, that's a good way to describe it. Joe, what about you?
I'm currently trying to export this Dan Cameron song. It's a wave, and I'm trying to turn it into an MP3.
By the way, while Joe is doing that, Yusuf, can you tell us a little bit about how to tune into your stuff?
Yeah, I'd say, obviously, YouTube's the place. It's where we put the show up. Mm-hmm. It's once every 2 months. That is the how we're hitting it. We're on a bi-monthly upload schedule. Just Otaku Versus on YouTube. If you haven't seen us, check it out. Check out the first and second episode of the show. Just come out recently. And tell me you hate it.
Oh, do you have any other videos other than those two that you are particularly proud of that you would want people to check out?
Let me think. There's like standouts for me is something like the ABCs of Anime Fans, which was like where I was puppeting around. Bootleg Anime Dating Simulators that ruined our childhood was one that I was pretty pretty proud of because it was kind of emotional for me because it was like my childhood that was ruined. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, Signs You Have Bad Taste in Anime is another fun one. These are all ones that I had like a lot of fun with where they were based around some sort of gag. You know, one's like a crazy computer and I had a lot of fun doing all the effects and all that kind of stuff.
by the way, before we go ahead and give our stuff, I wanted to just say, Yusuf, for someone who's like, this is their first podcast, you are like very eloquent and prepared with these great long answers to the questions. So thank you for that.
Just freaking, I talk too much. I mean, I feel bad.
Yeah, I said no, the exact opposite, man. Like, you talked just enough. Like, this was buttery smooth.
I would have thought that you've done at least 1 to 2 thousand podcasts. I would have thought that, yeah. I think it was that palm reading that we did before the episode.
Yeah, it was the aligned our chakras, really, got us in a good place.
Yeah.
And with Dan Cameron, who, could we broadcast that song? Is there a way to show everybody? I posted the MP3 in the recording chat.
We'd need to set up like a bot or like a thing for that. We don't have that ready. Excuse me.
So, but anyway, thank you so much for coming on. I do think that Dan Cameron had a role to play in all this. He kept joining and getting banned.
All right.
What do you think of that whole mess?
I think he was here in spirit. I think his spirit watched over the call. Ooh, just as his spirit will be watching over all of you tonight, listeners out there, as you're sleeping. So make sure to, you know, say your special Dan Cameron prayers, lest he rend your souls to the underworld tonight.
Pastor Herbert Laud, his day has finally come.
All right, he's muted. We don't have to hear that. Okay. So, guys, we do have a merch store at merch.t1podcast.com. And if you want bonus content of the podcast, if you've been listening for a while and you really want some exclusive stuff, extra clips, bonus episodes of the show, early listening privileges, and more, starts at just 6 cents a day. Go to patreon.com/T1podcast. Help support your favorite content creators, Joe and Lars. We forgot to see if anyone wants to give any live questions.
Oh, yeah. Anyone have any questions?
Zunafla does.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Let's... Zunafla. You're unmuted. Hey, buddy.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Great show, by the way, guys.
Thank you.
We know it.
I just had a question for Mr. Otaku.
Sure.
So, realistically, like, I guess what I'm asking for is more like on a percentage base. What percentage of your work is directly influenced by Dan Cameron?
I'd say, you know, there was always this unknown presence, you know, in the, you know, when they say like Jesus took the wheel, you know, whenever I'd write a script, you know, there was just an unknown, I'd black out and I'd wake up and the script would kind of just be there. And I never knew what it was until I had this call and I had my chakras aligned and my palm read by the one and only Joe.
That's normal. Yeah, I mean, I would expect that. I've dealt with Dan Cameron a lot, so I appreciate your time. I really just wanted clarification on that. And to me, honestly, that's a shining beacon of hope that you're aware of him and that, you know, he does influence your work. It makes me more of a fan than I already was.
Well, thank you. So thank you. Thank you, brother. All hail Cameron and Cameronism. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for coming on.
By the way, whoever that is, thank you, random fan of our show that keeps showing up and asking Dan Cameron questions on air for really committing to the bit. It really adds a little bit of mustard to the sandwich here. Okay, Tyrant, you're next.
Hey, Tyrant, did you have a Dan Cameron related question too?
No, I don't. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay.
No, I just wanted to have a question for Joseph or Taco Versus.
Go for it, Tyrant.
I just wanted to say, how's like everything been treating you because of the coronavirus?
Bruv, like Tyrant, he's a big supporter of the show. So obviously you've been in the server, Tyrant. It's kind of a bit crazy. It hasn't affected the production of the show. So like the animators, because we all work from home. So it's not like it's a big, like, oh my God, the show's going under. So that the show's actually trucking along okay and everybody's safe. That's great. Praise Cameron. But for the most part, it's affected all, you obviously know, with all the shipping and the clothing and all that kind of stuff. And that's just been crazy for me. But I'm kind of now just getting on top of it. And the next, by the end of this month, everything should all be back to where it was, you know, God, 3-4 months ago, 2 months ago when it all kicked off.
All right.
So, yeah.
Shoot. Oh, thank you for that, man.
Thanks for your question, Tyrant.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Tyron, thanks a lot. Thanks for all the support, bro.
All right.
Thank you.
So I think that's going to do it, unless there's anything else we're dying to talk about.
Did anyone...
What was that word, Joe?
In the chat.
What did you say?
No, in the chat, somebody says, Mr. Priest, may you enlighten me on Dan's teachings. And then Zone of Flaw says, you must immerse yourself in the scripts and hymns, Dan's Dominion. This is all happening and this is playing out in real time. He says, where may I find all of them?
Don't worry about it.
While this is happening, I wanted to keep the catacombs of Dan and
catacombs.
Within.
Coombers. Coombers unite.
I just wanted, Coombers. I wanted to take a moment for everyone who's listening. We should take this moment to align our chakras.
By the way, one last thing, Yusuf. Okay, so you probably shouldn't do this, but I have a hilarious hypothetical idea, which is that what if for one episode of the show, Frankie just doesn't show up and you do the voice for Hoda Chan instead?
Yeah, you ever watch Venture Brothers, Dr. Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Anyone has ever watched that? Yeah, I've had that thought many a time. I'm just coming like, hello, everybody. It's me, Mrs. the Monarch. Yeah, just fully. Yeah, one day I'll just scare everybody with my thick northern accent. Hey, up, kids. Sit down, lads. Yeah. I'm not Chan for today. Frankie's not turned.
What
up.
Happened to her voice?
The legend will never die.